before we answer the question directly, let's just look at the overview first. Our goal is to train ourselves to exercise in aerobic fashion. What we're trying to do is make demands on our cardiovascular system. Our heart and lungs are pumping real strong, but not at our maximum, at about 75% of it. And we've got a formula, 180 minus our age, that we're going to use as the basic formula. And that the way to do that, invariably, is to exercise in a way where we use the larger muscles of our body in a repeated fashion with really no breaks, but at a pace where you don't get way out of breath. So what are some common aerobic exercises? Walking, jogging, cycling, cross-country skiing, swimming, rope jumping, dancing, stationary cycling, racquetball, running in place. These also can be done in a non-aerobic way if you're not smart, especially things like racquetball, because all of a sudden you have to have these bursts of energy and you're no longer training in aerobic fashion. So let's first think about this in general terms. How many opportunities do you have to really get your aerobic system going in your day-to-day moments? There are two ways to exercise. One of those is to simply take advantage of those opportunities you have throughout your day to just do a small bit of exercising while you're doing things. You know, at home, do you mow the lawn, do you trim the hedges, or do you get your kid to do it? And if so, I'm sure your kid is in better shape than you are. Come on now. Maybe you ought to pull out that lawnmower, get out there in the sun and have some fun, and do some of those things that maybe you hire other people to do or you kind of just like, you know, think are insignificant. What if at work, instead of taking a coffee break, you took a walking break? What if instead of going to lunch, you decided to go for a walk? And for a good 35 or 40 minutes, you had a brisk walk. I can tell you, there's a good chance you'll come back a lot more energized than if you sat down and had that meal. So you don't have to do this all the time, but what are the opportunities you already have that you're passing up? I find it pretty humorous to look at these people out there go out and buy these mountain bikes so they can go out there and really rough it and get themselves in shape. But when they pull into the local grocery store, they're looking for the closest place that they can plant their cars. They don't have to walk very far. I mean, just look at the simple things. That's obvious. And yet, even though it's obvious, most people don't utilize these simple areas that can help you to burn excess calories and, more importantly, create the circulation and energy in your body you really deserve. That's how you get the body you deserve. The next element's the one we've got to create. You've got to now make a commitment to have a planned exercise period. And you know how it's going to look now. You're going to be exercising from 20 to 40 minutes at your actual aerobic capacity in that training mode, that 180 minus your age number. Now, in order to do that, you're going to have 12 minutes of warm-up because you don't want to just jam yourself, and 12 minutes of warm-down. You're going to need to give yourself the gift of 45 minutes a day, maybe even an hour if you want to build up to it, where you're doing something that's enjoyable, that is not stressful, but that also stimulates your heart, your cardiovascular system, your body's ability to burn fat, and your endurance. That planned exercise period's got to become part of your day. Now, how do you do that? And what exercise? Let's answer that first of the four questions. What type of exercise should you personally do? I think the exercise you need to do is the one you're going to enjoy. I mean, that's the bottom line. Otherwise, you're not going to do it long term. Nobody's going to do something they don't enjoy over and over again just to try and be healthy or lose weight. You'll do that for a period of time, but you'll eventually give it up. You got to do something you love. Maybe you love to dance. What if you just put yourself in a room, you got a great stereo system, and you say, you know what? For 20 to 40 minutes a day at my training level, I am going to dance my little fanny off and enjoy myself. I'm going to have some mirrors there. I'm going to be crazy. Maybe I'll learn to dance while I'm doing it. But you can't dance anaerobically because that'll be the tendency. Make sure you don't go over your rate. If you do, slow down the music. Get a slower song and dance to that. But if you do that, maybe that's something you'd enjoy. Maybe that's a lot more enjoyable for you than running. On the other hand, you might say, you know what? I'm not a good runner right now, but I'd like to train my body to do that, where it doesn't jar my body, it doesn't jar my back. I can make it happen. I used to want to run, but it hurt so darn much. But then I went out and found a guy that's great at running. In fact, he's also one of our guest speakers, along with Stu Middleman. Stu is at our mastery program, where we do the 9-day program I told you about. And so is a gentleman named Milan Tiff. And they both train you how to do things. Stu on how to train your body to burn fat and does the test to show you how to do that. Milan is a man who, by the age of 8, had still not walked. He had a unique form of polio. He trained himself not only to walk, but to run and to jump. He became the world record holder in the triple jump. And he showed me how to run literally effortlessly. And in fact, I've just recently done a videotape with him because I wanted other people to be exposed to him. It's called The Art and Joy of Running. If you'd like to get a copy of that video or information about him, just merely call our offices. You might say, I really like to cycle. That could be really fun. I like to go longer distances. Well, that's wonderful. Cycling can be a great aerobic exercise. And what's great about it is it's easy on your joints. So you don't get the pounding that you might get from jogging, especially if you're jogging improperly. But if you want to cycle, you can do it outdoors. Or if you can't, you can do it indoors. You can get yourself an indoor stationary bicycle. Or you can get a cross-country machine. Or what you could do is have an exercise system that's always changing so you never get bored. What I tend to do is I found myself not exercising, and my big excuse is I don't have the time. Used to be because it was really painful. Then I really loved it. But I got so caught up in my daily have-tos that I didn't make exercise a have-to. And that is something you must change if you want the body you deserve. And by the way, that is a bottom line change. You got to make it happen. It's got to be a must for you, not a should. Not something you do after everything else is accomplished. It's something you do first and get it out of the way right away. And by the way, out of the way, you might start looking forward to it. Or something you do at a certain time, but you can count on it. You schedule it. It's there. It's part of your life. And how I did that for me was I rigged up a workout room where I have my little Stairmaster and my running machines. I got all these little toys so I can change them. But what I have right there is a television set, a VCR. I have a headset so that I can get on there and make phone calls while I'm going. It's also a good test of my aerobic capacity. If I can't keep the phone call going, I'm being anaerobic. So it's fabulous. I got all these phone calls I've got to make instead of sitting on my butt in a chair and letting that thing get bigger, meaning not the chair, my butt. I decided, hey, maybe what I can do is go out there and move. And what's so great is I talk to people, and once in a while I get a little above my aerobic, and they hear me huffing and puffing, and they go, what are you doing? And I tell them, and they go, you're kidding. I said, no, what are you doing? Are you just sitting in a chair? Get up, come on, do some jumping jacks while I'm talking to you. I usually crack them up a little bit. The point of the matter is, then there's no excuse. You can always do it. Or go watch the news. Put your stationary bike in front of the television, or your little, let's say, rebounder. You get a little bouncing in, and you don't have the stress on your legs again. You can do that element. I'll turn on something like CNN News, and I'll begin my workout watching the news. Or you can watch a movie. And what's neat is you get caught up in your movie, or you're watching a VCR, a videotape of something that's important to you, an educational tape, for example. Like, I took up the sport of polo. Polo is a great workout for the horse. You know, it's not a great workout for the person. So I can't use that as my aerobic workout. I do a lot of anaerobic. There are times when you're really gritting it out and you're really using a lot of strength and power. And the truth is you do get a great workout. But I don't know that it's continuous, right, at my aerobic pace. So I don't use that as an excuse. But what I do is I run on my running machine. I watch VCR videos of polo. And I'm teaching myself some of the elements of polo, some instructional videotapes. There are all kinds of things you can do. The more you can combine activities that are pleasurable or have a sense of multiple levels of progress, the greater the chance is that this will become a permanent part of your life. And let me tell you the good news. Research has shown again and again that people that will exercise for 6 months, where they exercise continuously meaning a minimum of 4 days a week, usually five or more, tend to exercise for the rest of their life. They may even get off for a period of 2 or 3 months, even 4 or 5 months maximum. But it becomes trained in your nervous system, and you will always return to exercise for the rest of your life. That's the good news. So all you got to really do is not do what you've done in the past. Don't go out and bust your tail and do some exercise in an anaerobic way and hurt yourself or push yourself like crazy or say, I'm going to work out 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and then wonder why you feel disappointed. Work out for a longer period of time at a more comfortable rate, at the right heart rate, at something you love to do, where it's a scheduled activity and it's a must and it's continuous. Do it for 6 months, you'll do it for life. And you know what? There are things you do every day that you take at least this much time for, aren't there? I mean, think about it. You know, when I asked you the questions earlier, I said, you know, how frequently should you exercise? The minimum should be 4 times a week. And if you can do more, great. But 4 times a week should be your minimum. Ideally, 5 or 6. If you're exercising, to give you an idea, only 5 times a week, and you're doing it properly, and let's say, you know, 12 minutes of that exercise time is warm-up, so you're not really exercising, you're just walking or something. 12 minutes is warm down. And let's say you're exercising for a full 30 minutes at your training rate. Think about that. If we counted all that time that you invested, let's say it was a full hour, 5 times a week, how many hours are there in a week? 168. How many hours are you going to sleep? The average American sleeps 8 hours a day. I can't even believe it. No wonder. I mean, if you think about that, if you sleep 6 hours a day versus 8 hours a day, how much more time would you have in your life? You got 2 hours a day times 7, that's 14. Times 4 is how much? 56. Guess what? You got a couple more days a month. Over a period of a year, guess what? You got yourself almost another month that other people never even see. I mean, I can't believe people sleep 8 hours a day, but I do know why, because they train their body where they have to have 8 hours and they still feel tired. You're not going to be one of those people anymore. So what if you took one of those hours you were sleeping and you actually trained your body to be more fit and more healthy and more energized and burn fat? But think about it. If you're spending 56 of your 168 hours sleeping, that means one-third of your life you're sleeping. Couldn't you just invest 5 hours a week, 5 days a week in exercise, in training your body to burn fat and creating the body you deserve? Is the body you deserve worth 5 hours a week? By the way, that's 3% of your time. And you know what? If you do it 4 days a week, you can really be healthy still. That's fine. You can still do it at that level. If you do a little more, that's wonderful. You don't have to do it 7 days a week. So don't make yourself guilty saying, I got to do it every single day in order to make this work. That's not necessary. What's more important, again, is that it becomes consistent, that it becomes part of your lifestyle. So set up a system that works. Figure out whatever you're going to do, whether it's cross country or swimming or a rowing machine or some racket sport that you enjoy, but where you, again, stay at the aerobic capacity and do it consistently. Put it in your calendar and follow through. And reward yourself for doing it. No, not by going and get some fatty foods. That's not the way to do it. Reward yourself in other ways. And the biggest reward you'll experience is how you'll feel and how you'll look and the self-esteem that you'll experience that comes from really getting yourself to habitually do the things you know are right. By the way, I do want to add one more thing. When I talk about what is the frequency that you should do an exercise, a couple things you might want to consider. And that is, number one, what's your present physical condition? If you're presently really in terrible shape, you might want to try to work out 6 days in a week, right? You might want to start at that floor level we talked about. The other thing that's going to determine how often you exercise aerobically is the type of exercise you're doing consistently. The more joint pounding the exercise you're doing, maybe the fewer times per week you want to do it. And that's why you might want to look at doing some different things. Maybe you're swimming on some days. Maybe you're bouncing on one of those mini trampolines. Again, you want to keep your heart rate at the right level. And also, it just depends on how you're feeling. If you're really, really stiff and you're really sore from a particular exercise, maybe it's time to take a day off. Again, in all exercises that you're going to do, whether it be the type of exercise or the intensity you're going to do it at, consult your doctor. Sit down with your doctor, make sure they understand what you're trying to accomplish, that they understand the difference between anaerobic and aerobic, and describe what you want to do and make sure you have your doctor's approval to make it happen. So what have we reviewed so far? We've talked about the difference between fitness and health, and that what we really want to do is be healthy. We've talked about there are two ways basically to reduce fat. One of the ways is to consume less fat than we actually utilize, but there's a point where that doesn't work. Just reducing the fat intake in your body will turn your BMR down, cause your metabolism to drop, your fat burning ability to drop, and your fat storing capacity to grow. We've talked about the idea that the only way to turn this around really long term is to create exercise. Consistent exercise done at a moderate rate of effort where you're using a great deal of oxygen over a longer period of time. And we've come up with a ratio. 180 minus your age is the rough ratio that you're going to utilize. We've created a phase of exercise, the warm-up phase. We've talked about having a training phase and a warm-down phase. We've talked about what types of exercises you might want to do and that the most important thing is it's something you enjoy and something that you're consistent with. We've talked about frequency, 4 to 6 times a week and the elements that are involved. What's left? What about the intensity of your exercise? Well, we've really covered this. The amount of intensity that you're going to do any exercise is completely governed by your heart rate. And that's why you're going to want to monitor it on a regular basis. And I'm strongly again encouraging you to go get yourself a heart monitor. That's the ideal. Or manage your breath or monitor your pulse. Those are the three ways we describe. But whatever your exercise is, as you're just getting started, start small and grow. Start slow at first. Don't do anything too intense. Don't go out your first day and say, you know what? A little is good. A lot's even better. I'm going to do this for 2 hours at a real low rate. I don't think that would be a real good move on your part. Allow your body to build. Give yourself the patience that allows you to build a good, strong foundation so that you really will do this long term. The other thing I'll mention about intensity is, again, remember the phases. Your intensity is going to be different if you're in a warm-up phase versus in a training phase versus in a warm-down phase. In addition, I think it's extremely important that you stretch before you even warm up. Now, some warm-ups do require stretching. If you're going to be running in a training phase, if you walk or jog lightly, you're using the same muscles in the same motion, but more lightly. That is a form of warm-up. And there are a whole series of stretch exercises you'll find in your workbook that can assist you in stretching the body before you begin any exercise. The last thing that I want to mention to you about intensity is that if, by chance, you're taking some form of medication that slows your heart rate, don't use a pulse meter as your intensity guideline because it'll throw it off. Use your breathing. And for anyone, just remember, if while you're exercising, you're breathing somewhat heavily, but you can talk in a fairly normal voice, you're probably in your target range. If you're way out of breath and you can't talk normally, you're going too fast. The final question I said we'd answer, duration. Well, we've again pretty much answered this question for you as well, but I just want to point out to you that I've given you a range of duration. What's going to determine duration? What's your current level of health? What's the timeline you can commit to and really keep each day? Obviously, the longer you can go within reason at your training rate, comfortably, without having your heart get out of that range, the better off you're going to be. But many beginning aerobic exercisers all try to work out too long at first. If 20 minutes of walking or cycling is great at first, then obviously 3 hours is going to be better. Again, don't fall into this trap. Gradually increase the time that you can complete at least 20 minutes of continuous exercise at 65 to 85% of your maximum heart rate, or 180 minus your age. Don't try and cut down the duration of your exercise by saying, well, I'll save some time by not warming up, or I'll save some time by not warming down, because what you'll find is you're not getting the benefits for your body and you may injure yourself in the process. I also highly encourage you to think of the duration of your exercise not being done until you've done at least 5 minutes of stretching afterwards. Well, part of your warm down is not just lowering your heart rate, but stretching the muscles and relaxing them. And again, in your workbook, you'll find some simple things you can do in this area. So to wrap up this day's lesson, we know what we've learned. We know that the only way we can have the body we deserve is if we get our body to become a fat-burning machine. We know the only way to do that is not just to starve ourselves. In fact, what you probably found out if you've begun to live living health is you could eat a lot of food. You might be eating more food than you did before, maybe feeling very satisfied and saying, how am I going to lose weight this way? Well, because your body is getting a different quality of food. Your body's able to digest that food more effectively. But in addition, you must exercise. You must do so aerobically, not anaerobically, and you now know what that means. So what can you expect as a result of this? Well, let me tell you a couple things. First thing you can expect is more energy. An average-sized man can increase his blood volume by nearly a quart in response to aerobic conditioning. And by the way, at this amount, the red blood cells may increase proportionately more than that quart increase. In other words, with that much more volume of blood, you have the capacity to deliver so much more oxygen to all the cells and organs of your body that you will feel more energized and more vital than ever before. You'll feel yourself feeling sharper. You'll think more quickly. I mean, it's an amazing change that happens in your body. When you've done this training for 60 to 90 days, there's no question you'll see results. And most people see results within the first 10 to 14 days. So start noticing and appreciating both the subtle changes and the dramatic changes as well. And let me tell you another benefit. A man or woman who exercises regularly usually has a resting heart rate of about 60 beats a minute, or maybe even less. An unconditioned man or woman usually has a rate of 80 or more. Now, what the heck does this mean? Well, the difference between these two people is radical. Even at a complete rest, the unconditioned man who doesn't train himself aerobically and is not even exercising in the moment causes his heart to beat 30,000 more times every single day than the man who exercises and whose resting heart rate is at 60 beats a minute. Think about that. The person who doesn't exercise is literally draining much more energy from his body every single day because he's not in condition. See, what you're really training your heart to do is to pump more blood with each stroke with less effort. And that's really what you want. You want more oxygen, more energy, less effort. That's how you create endurance. That's how you create a quality of life. And of course, you're also going to do what we talked about throughout this entire tape. You're going to change what we call your set point, your BMR, that internal mechanism that teaches your body when to store fat and when to burn it, that changes your metabolism, and as a result, you're going to become a fat-burning machine. This simple system of exercising scientifically, exercising intelligently, exercising aerobically will change the quality of your life forever. It will give you the body you deserve. So get started today. Again, 4 times a week is the minimum. 6 probably will be max using the tools we've done here. I'm going to turn you over to Dr. Nate Booth to give you some specific instructions. Now we're on a roll. You know what to eat. You know what to do with your body. You know how to move. Let's take yourself to the next level starting today, and I'll look forward to visiting with you tomorrow as we begin to break up any patterns that would hold you up. Till then, remember to live with passion.
Hello again. I'm back. And Tony has just given you the second piece of the puzzle, how you can enjoyably move your body in ways that will turn you into a lean, mean, fat-burning machine. As you're driving your machine down that highway of life in the next 24 hours, here are the things we'd like you to do. Again, complete the eating diary in your workbook, just as you've been doing the last few days. Today we're going to add something new, and that will be you completing your eating and exercise log. What I'd like you to do right now is stop the tape and turn to the Day 5 section of your manual and find the sample eating and exercise log. Good. Now, you'll have a blank one of these back in the appendix that you will fill out, but right now, let's go through the sample one so you understand how to complete this. You'll notice at the top of the eating and exercise log, you'll have week of blank. Just fill in the week of June 24th or whatever the week might be. You'll notice in the top right-hand box that there are some current statistics. Each week you'll write in, number one, your resting heart rate, number two, your chest measurement, number three, your waist measurement, number four, a measurement of your hips, and number five, your thigh measurement. You'll do this every week, so you'll see the gradual improvement that you make week in and week out. On the left-hand side, underneath that information, you'll notice that this is the eating portion of your eating and exercise log. Find today, either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and then you'll make a check mark in each column if you follow or improve upon one of those principles that Tony talked about today. Let's take a look at column number one. 70% water rich. If your diet today included 70% water rich foods, or you made significant improvement towards that 70% water rich diet, put a check mark there. If not, just leave it blank. Column number 2, food combining. If in the last 24 hours you combined your foods according to the guidelines that Tony gave you, put a check mark there. Column number 3, controlled consumption. If you did an excellent job today of controlling your consumption, in other words, if you ate today until you felt comfortable, not stuffed, just put a check mark in that column. Column number 4, eat fruits correctly. This includes eating fruits up until noon, fruits and or their juices up until noon, and when you eat fruit, just eat fruit. Column number 5, decrease or eliminate your meat intake. If in the last 24 hours you didn't have any meat, or you reduced your intake of meat from what you usually eat, put a check mark in there. Column number 6, reduce or eliminate dairy. If in the last 24 hours you didn't have any dairy products or significantly reduced the amount of dairy products you ate, put a check mark in this column. Column number 7, reduce fats and oils. You don't want to completely eliminate your intake of fats and oils, and if in the last 24 hours you reduced your intake of fats and oils, put a check mark in this column. Column number 8 is reduce acid addictions. If in the last 24 hours you've reduced those acid addictions that Tony outlined in day 4, put a check mark in this column. Over on the right-hand side of your eating and exercise log, you'll notice the heading exercise. This is where you'll keep track of the type, intensity, and duration of your exercise as Tony outlined today. Beginning tomorrow night, on that blank eating and exercise log in the appendix, what we'd like you to do is to tear that out, put it up somewhere where you see it. Up on the refrigerator, the bathroom door, somewhere where you'll see it every day. Tomorrow you can begin filling in the exercise portion of your eating and exercise log. Remember when you fill out your eating and exercise log that you're just like Roger Bannister. When Roger Bannister broke that 4-minute mile, he kept track of every single workout every single day. And he gradually yet steadily moved towards his 4-minute mile. When he did that, he knew exactly where he was at. He knew the areas that he had to improve upon, and then he went out the next day and made those corrections and made those improvements. You can reap those same benefits by every day completing your eating and exercise log. And finally, to complete day 5, read the day 5 section in your workbook. Go over the review, do the practical application, and follow that checklist to success. Will Rogers said, "Even though you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there." The eating and exercise principles you've learned in the last 2 days are the right track. Don't sit on them. Use them now. Keep taking action. Keep the momentum going and remember to enjoy the process. We'll see you tomorrow.